The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh, new, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of December, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And I just want to thank my producer. Every day, my producer, he showed me, I have to learn you something about Junkanoo, Miss Green. Every day, he put on some sweet, sweet Junkanoo music. Listen, you guys, tune in tonight, 6:30 p.m., to Guardian 96.9 FM. Kenny's Corner with Kendani Campbell-Moss will be hosting members from the Junkanoo community. If I remember correctly, I think they have, is Valley Boys members coming on to talk? Anyway, it's going to be a great discussion because, you know, Kenny has her pulse, her finger on the pulse of Junkanoo. In fact, her pulse, right, beats with the Junkanoo rhythm all the time. Every day, all day, she is Junkanoo, so you guys should tune in to that. We're going to do a little housekeeping and then into some stories. And then I had two stories or a couple of stories that I wanted to focus on, particularly after we look at what's in the news. Again, we are in the midst of the Global 16 Days campaign, Activism Against Gender-Based Violence. That runs from the 25th of November to the 10th of December. Tonight, December the 3rd, 6 to 8 p.m. via Zoom, an event, Channeling Rage, a theater workshop with Paula Hamilton Smith. And then tomorrow night, December the 4th, 6 to 8 p.m., Managing Disasters with Baris Griffin. That is also via Zoom. I want to say for the people who are preparing to demonstrate in Rawson Square tomorrow, maybe you guys should tune into this series of conversations hosted by Equality Bahamas this year, where they focus on rage and resilience or anti-resilience, examining these two things and how they operate in our lives. Before I go on, I want to say this. Rage is an appropriate response. Rage is a natural response, human response. Rage is oftentimes an appropriate response to the circumstances that people are facing. See, rage is not the problem. A lack of attention to crisis is the problem, right? But rage is a naturally occurring thing that can be used as a weapon. Because if you keep the rage inside you, it will kill you. If you vomit the rage out onto others, it will kill them. That is the intent of the imperialist system. What is to our benefit is to channel our rage first by acknowledging others around us, working collectively so rage can become outrage. And then we focus on the real needs of people. The absence of resources generates a rage. We commit to turning that rage into kinetic energy and causing shifts in our community. Rage is an appropriate response. And so if you want to see the details, the fine details for these two events and the rest of the schedule of events, you can go to tiny.cc/16days24. That's tiny.cc/16days24. In the spirit of the Global 16 Days campaign, I want to remind us that December 1st was World AIDS Day. Yesterday, December 2nd, was the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. And today is the International Day for People with Disabilities. I want to turn to page 5 of the Nassau Tribune. The Nassau Tribune, here's the headline. LaRota calls for, quote, cultural shifts, close quote, at opening of Disabilities Week. Minister of Social Services, Broadcasting and Information, Miles LaRota, called for cultural shifts as his ministry brought in Disability Awareness Week yesterday. Mr. LaRota urged the public to recognize the basic human rights of disabled individuals. Quote, there are so many disabled people willing and able to work, and all they ask for is the chance, close quotes, he said. Quote, we need to be sensitive to their needs because they are among the most vulnerable in our communities, close quotes. He pointed out the frequent misuse of accessible parking spaces by able-bodied people, even when alternative options are available nearby. That, stick a pin, that is a very big problem. I'm not sure at this point if he goes further into that. But it's important to note at this point that it is not just able-bodied people, but it is businesses, business owners, and corporations, large corporations, that are also not just abusing the policy, but they reinforce this abuse by ignoring calls from the public to follow and adhere to the current policies and regulations. I return to the article. I trust that you all understand what I mean. Mr. LaRota also noted the lack of wheelchair access at public events, such as town halls in Abaco, where some attendees in wheelchairs could not fully participate due to inaccessible venues. He criticized the inadequate accessibility of government buildings, including the House of Assembly, where existing measures fall short of meeting the needs of disabled people. These examples, he argued, reflect a broader societal neglect that must be addressed. Quote, we have a community of persons who do not feel that they are part of this society, close quotes, he said. Quote, they don't feel as if they're included, and we pay no attention to their special needs, close quotes. Anne Marie Davis, spouse of the Prime Minister, called for the removal of discriminatory attitudes against persons with disabilities, stressing the importance of inclusion and accessibility. Quote, we have to remove the stigma, close quote, she said. Quote, we have to stop being discriminatory against persons with disabilities and recognize that they have to be included. Increase accessibility so that they will be included in the workplace and everywhere else that they can perform and function normally. Mrs. Davis urged stakeholders to create environments where disabled people can contribute meaningfully, emphasizing the need for practical and systemic change. Education and accessibility, she said, are critical to ensuring that persons with disabilities can pursue their dreams and achieve independence. Quote, we must include them, close quotes, she said. Quote, we must have the accessibility for them to be included, the education for them, so that whatever path they choose, they can make it there, close quotes. Mrs. Davis commended the efforts of mothers and caregivers who support persons with disabilities, calling their contributions invaluable. Quote, I have to, and I'm going to stick a pin in here. I know that you used it as a catch-all, but let us explicitly declare also support and commendation for fathers who support persons with disabilities, their children, their family members, and community members. Quote, I have to, must give kudos to the mothers and the caregivers who have brought their children or persons with or who care for persons with disabilities, who have done so much for them to mold them and to guide them along in their life thus far, close quotes, she said. She described their work as sacrifices that go beyond words, emphasizing the critical role caregivers play in shaping the future of persons with disabilities. She called on society to recognize these individuals and provide greater support for the challenges they face daily. I wanted to read that into the record. Again, today is the International Day for People with Disabilities. I want to make a couple of points here and why it is important to explicitly express the inclusion of fathers as caregivers and men, right? Fathers and men as caregivers. Some experiences, right? Some disabilities render individuals unable to care for themselves in the most basic needs like bathing and hygiene, needs after using the bathroom. And it is wrong of us to just say, well, the woman is the caregiver, and so the disabled person must acknowledge their lack of mobility and be prepared to let whoever is available take care of their needs. But we know that men would feel more comfortable sometimes some men would feel more comfortable with other men assisting in this way and not necessarily a woman or mother, a female caregiver. And so we not only recognize those men that step up to the plate, but we acknowledge that they must be explicitly included in the conversation. Here's a second point I want to note, and it is a bit disheartening. I realize that there are disabled people who have no regard for other disabled people. There are some locations in New Providence that not only provide the blue parking space, right, but they provide another space that is specifically designed for vehicles with motorized ramps for disabled people. And so if you see a disabled spot, and next to the disabled spot, there are markings on the asphalt. It's usually, it looks like an odd-shaped triangle with a rounded end and parallel lines running through it. That is not another parking space for disabled people. That space is intended to leave open for motorized ramps on vehicles for disabled people. Both able-bodied people and disabled people alike abuse this function provided for disabled people. You're right, sir. Cultural shifts are definitely needed. Because tomorrow, there's going to be a demonstration in Rawson Square, right? Demanding access to those that govern us. And even the HOA is accused of, right, providing inadequate accessibility. One quick point before we go, which kind of hits close to home. Given the nature of the development of New Providence in particular, we must acknowledge that some entities or some structures will require significant upgrade or renovation to render it disability accessible. You see, this is where the state should step in and offer incentives and concessions to propel, to speed up the pace of shift, if infrastructural shift, to make it easier for buildings to be renovated to make them accessible for the disabled. Texter says, remember the driver of a cabinet minister was recently seen parked in a handicapped space? An apology was issued and the case closed. See, yesterday I talked about, or I referenced the statements by Fred Mitchell saying that the police force is not systemically corrupt. And I made the point that it is systemically corrupt. It's just not systemically criminal, right, yet. That text, right, and we've seen it, red plates, it's in police cars. Those who have sworn to uphold the law are ignoring it. In fact, they do not think the law applies to them. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good.
Good morning. How you do?
Hey, a little under the weather. Listen.
Drink some thyme tea or some Saracen tea. If you can't find none of them, get some fresh oregano leaf and boil that.
Fresh oregano leaf?
Yeah, because oregano, rosemary, thyme, broadleaf thyme, would be called Spanish thyme.
I found one. I planted in my pot by my door. That thing almost as big as a guava tree now.
Yeah, it can keep the mosquitoes away from the door, from coming inside the doorway. Grab a couple of leaves wash them off, boil them, drink a little tea. They all have thymol, that's the essential oil in thyme. All of those plants also contain thymol, and thymol is an upper respiratory conditioner.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
But what I wanted to say, you were talking about the...
Disabilities Week.
Yes, and the government needing to give incentives for some businesses to have accessible areas for the disabled persons.
Yes, ma'am.
But I'm trying to figure out something. Are you talking to the same government entity that took the money from the disabled to party with?
You mean the $25,000 that they use to have a second memorial for Obi Wilchcombe at Bahama?
And never reported whether or not it was replaced?
And then there was
I'm trying to think, we'll be talking to the same people.
Yeah, and then there was another $5,000 that was taken from somewhere else in the social services budget to hit the balance. Yeah.
So we now see why what happened to the youngest Moxie, you know, there was no money there to pay staff to do their job properly. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it is what it is.
Well, certainly, $30,000 could have gone a long way in supporting existing programs in the Ministry of Social Services, Information and Broadcasting. Furthermore, I wonder if that is something that Obi Wilchcombe would have consented to. Would he have authorized it?
We all know Obi Wilchcombe would never have consented to something like that.
Yeah.
And we all know he probably turned in his grave and he found out where to take the money from.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, ma'am.
We've known him long enough and we've seen the type of personality he is.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling. I wanted to read that story into the record, and in particular because today is the International Day for People with Disabilities. There's another interesting story in today's paper that I think requires commentary and critique, but I don't know if I'm necessarily going to get deeply into it in today's Tribune. New Year's and King's birthday honorees recognized. Okay. New Year's and King's birthday honorees. I thought we only had two set of honors. I thought we had the King's honors and the local honors, national honors, and now there's the New Year's and King's birthday. Are they all the same thing? Anyway, the honorees for 2023-2024 were recognized at Government House yesterday. Among the honorees acknowledged was former Central Grand Bahama MP Nico Grant, who received Commander of the Order of the British Empire. Ministry of Health and Wellness Permanent Secretary Colin Higgs was bestowed the Member of the Order of the British Empire. Deputy Commissioner Lamont Delavaux and retired Deputy Commissioner Emeric Kevin Seymour received the King's Police Medal for 2023. Retired Assistant Commissioners Bernard B.K. Bonner. Retired Assistant Commissioners Bernard B.K. Bond and Theophilus Cunningham received the 2024 New Year's Honours Medals. The Prime Minister is quoted as saying and congratulating the honorees, quote, as I look around, I'm reminded just how blessed we are as a nation, he said, close quotes, he said, quote, to be such a small country with so many giant achievements, we are truly blessed and we are sharing our blessings with others. Close quote, stick a pin. I do not want this commentary to any way denigrate the contributions made to this country by the individuals receiving honors this year. But the whole Davis administration, the entire Davis administration's exercises of awarding honors seems to be a very special exercise. One that requires inquiry. Because it appears as if you are using national mechanisms to award or reward political operatives and members of the political class and members of the government. National honors are for Again, do not let this critique in any way denigrate, in your mind, the contributions to the development of the nation made by the individuals being honored. But since there's a repeated pattern of not actually giving a rationale or an explanation for why the individuals who receive honors receive them, we are left to do the hard work of developing the country. Anyway, it's plenty good story. I got a text here. I have seen business owners parked in disability parking spaces. Yes, I'm telling you. Listen, the rightest thing LaRota said was that cultural shifts are needed. There's a shift needed in the political class. There's a shift needed in the culture of governance in the public service. There's a shift needed in the business sector and the professional sector, because some of the country's leading institutions, whose primary focus is compliance outside of generating profits for their clients, compliance, have no regard for these rules and regulations. And let's talk about the political class. When you go to your fancy events that were poorly planned, and you just throw your card on the sidewalk that pedestrians and disabled people have to use. You act as if the slope to get on the sidewalk was put there for your ease of mashing up the people's infrastructure. There's one big church. In fact, right on East Street and Shirley Street, and then right on Dowswell Street and the corner to take you to Armstrong, right? Take you to Hawkins Hill. Two prominent Bahamians, two prominent members of the political class, on a daily basis, the staff and the clients that attended their businesses had no regard for the rules and the laws. These are lawyers. These are lawyers. And they have no regard. Just nasty and disrespectful. Blocking up the sidewalk. And in some of the most dangerous parts of the road. Of the roadway. Let's go to the phone line, caller. I'm sorry, producer. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right. I have one quick question for you. Mm-hmm. How does a people achieve a cultural shift?
Well, I can tell you right now exactly how a cultural shift is achieved, right? You have to create a critical mass, right?
Mm-hmm.
By Malcolm Gladwell, tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas, constructs become real when they hit critical mass. You could also read a book called Small Gods by Terry Pratchett. It give you a great grounding of this, like this idea. So, like, think about it. The story of Christ. For hundreds and hundreds of years, all of us are sitting there, that by Christ, I know him. I know that by meeting him on the bus. He got blue eyes, lily white skin, right? Because that story had hit critical mass. And it's taking us hundreds of years to deconstruct that lie. Even with Putin going on Beyonce's internet and revealing the treasured icons that the Russian Eastern Orthodox Church have maintained and sustained. And that's still not breaking through the lie that became truth because it hit critical mass. So,
yes, Mom.
The way to shift culture is whatever idea you think is necessary that you want to bloom in your country, it first has to bloom in the hearts of man, right, and woman.
So Of course.
So the idea is that you engage in activities and discourse and public engagement, right? That inundates the collective consciousness with the ideas that you think are healthy, right? And we'll use that, healthy. You also have to give space for people to interrogate them for themselves. So you have to do it in a way that causes people to interrogate those ideas for themselves. And you have to continue, right? You have to continue doing that until you hit a critical mass. Let me give you another perfect example right here in the Bahamas. The PLP and the FNM for decades convinced the Bahamian people that only two parties could exist at one time. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Now, it took a little bit of collective amnesia and hiding of history, right? Because if we knew the real political history, we would know the power of third parties and other parties within the political sphere. Now, the DNA began to break through that. The COI is beginning to break through it as well. But that's how we do it. You have to inundate the public space with the ideas until they hit critical mass. Now, the government has a much easier time at this because they could use laws and policies and their enforcement mechanisms.
Yeah, they can force it on us.
To shift the culture. They could put.
Yeah, they can force it.
No, we're not even going to force it because it's already regulations, you see? It's already in the law. It's a matter of inundating the public spaces with the idea, so billboards everywhere, not just with the rule, but with the penalty for the rule, so that it becomes forefront in people's minds. That's how we do it, cousin.
Yeah, I mean, because, well, I was wondering when you said that, when you said that at Laredo or somebody said that we need a cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was just trying to figure out exactly how, like, even probably when he was saying it, how he would probably even imagine it would happen.
Right. I don't know what they're thinking. I can be honest with you. Because whatever they're thinking, they ain't thinking out loud. I tell you how I would do it.
No, I mean, well, when they're supposed to tell us things, they don't tell us it out loud. So you can imagine what they're thinking is even worse.
Right. In fact, listen, before I go, I want to say this. Their own political culture is detrimental to achieving their own agendas.
Yes, it is. But I just so happened that, ironically, that just a couple of weeks back, the other day, I just realized what the word critical mass means, right? And, I mean, a lot of people might know what that means. You know what I mean? Like, that's when an idea reaches a point when, you know, it reaches a point where it could take over, where it could have some effect.
Oh, it's too large. It's too large to ignore.
Yeah, the idea becomes too big. You can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so like, I just was wondering, Ms. Green, because we really need a culture shift for truth. But, you know, to get a culture shift, we can't keep doing the same thing we were doing yesterday.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We need a complete transformation of the mind, and we need to educate. If we're going to put that like that, we need to start with the youth. We need to get the youth to see, to begin to look at things from a different perspective. You know, but I want to say, Ms. Green, seeing that culture is something that traditions that people develop over a period of time, right? And I mean, I've heard arguments in the country about what is Bahamian culture, and it's yet to be defined in a way that's definite.
We can define it right now.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that that's why I believe that African culture and African history and African way of life is so important, because we sometimes use African sayings over here, like it takes a village to raise a child, right?
I'm not even sure if that's African. I could be honest with you, but...
I've heard it.
You stable string berry.
Yeah, but from the time I've heard it, I think I heard Hillary Clinton.
See what I say now? Caller, pause. I can go. You can't be telling me if you hear Hillary Clinton saying that even if it was African, it ain't African no more. All right? But let me go. You said something about cultural shifts. I want to transition to this story. Constituencies Commission to begin work next month, 28th of November. But before we go there, I get a text and I want to say this. One of the reasons why I felt that the Commission of Police's address was lacking is sort of related to what we're talking about just now, caller, right? How do you give a national statement on corruption involving the trafficking of narcotics and contraband and don't reference the wider historical context within which that contemporary thing is happening? How do you attempt to stamp out trafficking and smuggling without acknowledging collectively that that is what has been done in these islands historically for time immemorial? In memoriam, one of them. See, cousin, you got me using all these European terms. I find something African to say. Right, but the point is, how effective will any strategy you attempt to employ be if you don't couch it in, if it's not rooted in an understanding of the historic context of these islands? How are you going to convince me you can do it? Nobody in this entire conversation has said, yo, y'all realize that the drug era has never ended? And is it possible that the political class has created an amnesia, right? So as to change what we use to change how we assess their production, right? Their delivery. How you do that? How do you do that, right? And then this is not meant to be a lesson for anybody. But let me ask y'all a question. Ain't nobody asked which travel agent booked the ticket for Joe Leader to come to the Bahamas? Anybody asked who told SBF he should go check out the Bahamas? Y'all don't ask these questions? How can you convince right-thinking people that you can devise, employ strategies to eradicate smuggling and trafficking and corruption, particularly related to that, if you cannot explain what is happening and why it's happening? All right, here's the text. Aaron, are you alleging that a high-ranking politician is abusing the national awards process? Texter, I am suggesting that the entire political class is complicit in the bastardization of another governance institution or mechanism. That's what I'm suggesting, that the political class and the politicians have bastardized another thing that is vital to the development of the Bahamas, both the nation, the country, and its citizens, for its own political agendas. And at this point, it appears to me like y'all awarding people for forgetting. That's what I'm suggesting. All right, we're going to go to a break, and then we come back from the break. Constituency commissions begin work next month. And then we're going to take a look at the article, population growth rate declines, so we could get a sense of whether we're going to see any significant changes in the constituencies or their boundaries as we approach the next general election.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Benzi Lampkin. I have two 13 by 23 semi-high gloss ceramic tiles in stock and selling for $214 a square foot before VAT. Now, one of these, namely CB2093, has a unique design that gives the illusion of laid stone, the unevenness of the stone sidewalks of Europe. But it's only an illusion. While they look like stone, they offer much more continuity. I'd ask Pinder if he'd been to How to Talk Good School while he was away. Anyhow, come to Pinder Town and have a look at his new collection, starting at $214 a square foot before VAT.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Mm-hmm.
good yawning. Welcome back. Can't be yawning with good junk new music playing in the background. But thank you, producer. It reminded me that there is a junk new group for people with disabilities. I just realized, you remember when you and your cousins is playing and then two of y'all start fighting, Grammy come in the room and everybody get punished? Everybody's toys get taken away even though you weren't involved in the fight? I have a suggestion. The Valley Boys, that may make it no sense. Let's take all the A group money. All. Let's take all the A group money and give it to the B groups and the groups that are accessible for disabled people. Until they figure out what's wrong. See, maybe a little peer pressure. That's what y'all used to do to us in school, right? Maybe a little peer pressure. Maybe making their peers moderate their behavior would be helpful. That's what y'all did to us, right? Like y'all left us to the whims of each other, like Lord of the Flies. Y'all saw that. Here's what we do. We take in all the seed money from the A groups and giving it to the B groups and any groups that are working with people with disabilities. I like that. Okay, so constituency commission to begin work next month. Members of the commission are Exuma and Ragged Island MP Chester Cooper. Because ain't no deputy prime minister supposed to be on the committee. Tall Pines MP Michael Darville, St. Barnabas MP Shenandoah Cartwright, and Supreme Court Justice Gregory Hilton is also a member of the commission. If you want to find the provisions that govern this space, one of them, Article 70, Section 1 of the Constitution states, quote, the commission shall, in accordance with the provisions of this article, at intervals of not more than 5 years, review the number of boundaries of the constituencies into which the Bahamas is divided and shall submit to the Governor General a single report, either stating that, in the opinion of the Commission, no change is required or recommending certain changes. And the Governor General shall cause such report to be laid before the House of Assembly forthwith. Close quotes. A boundaries report prepared by the previous Commission in 2021 recommended to the Governor General that no new constituents be added, maintaining the status quo of 39 seats in the House of Assembly. That report submitted by four members of the commission was different from the document submitted by former commission chairman Halston Moultrie, who was Speaker of the House at the time. The report submitted by Moultrie stated, quote, it was the will of the majority of commission members to recommend no change to the 39 electoral constituencies. Close quotes. In his dissenting opinion, Moultrie recommended that four additional seats be added to the House of Assembly, but at a political rally in 2020, the then Prime Minister, Dr. Minnis, said there would be no changes to the electoral boundaries. Now we're going to go to the next article, Population Growth Rate Declines. This is 23rd of October, 2024. Results from the Bahamas' 2022 census show that while the country's total population grew by more than 46,000 people in the last 12 years, the average annual growth rate declined. So we grew by 46,000 people. We were expecting that number to be more, but it has dropped. Okay, so the data shows the total population of the Bahamas stood at 398,165 people at the time of the census. So we are now 398,165 people, plus or minus a couple people. Blessings to new births and condolences to those who have lost loved ones. The data shows, we go on. While the average annual growth rate, if we don't need to worry about the growth rate in particular, this is the part I want to get to. Acklands, Andrus, Berry Islands, Bimini, Cat Island, Eleuthera, Exuma, Harbor Island, and New Providence all registered population gains. Between 2010 and 2022, Berry Island saw its population increase the most, with a 24.2% increase, beating out New Providence, which saw its population increase by 20.5%. Abaco, Crooked Island, Grand Bahama, Inagua, Long Island, Mayaguana, Ragged Island, Rum Key, Spanish Wells, and San Salvador all saw decreases in their population between 2010 and 2022. Since we're talking about family islands, I did forget something. Let me stick a pin right here. Bombers Power and Light. There's a power outage in Glengariff Garden Subdivision, North Johnson Road. When I left work this morning, I saw a truck on the corner. When I got the call that the power was off, I checked the planned outages list. We're not on the list. Why you can tell me to check the planned outages list if we're not on the list? Now, it's possible that there was an accident. It's possible that something happened. But I saw no evidence of that on my journey. Could you please tell us when the power is going to be back on? Could we have that? Could we have that? Because we little concerned now. I especially concerned after an incident I had yesterday, which leads me to ask the question, how do you all determine who could touch the electricity and who can't touch the electricity? Because you're letting people drive BPL vehicles who should not be in control or authorized to operate government vehicles. I was traveling east on Post Office Hill Street yesterday, approaching East Street. There were cars parked on the northern side of the road, now, like they normally are. I was able to traverse and still maintain my lane. But as you just immediately passed the entrance to the public parking lot, there were three or four cars illegally parked on the road, obstructing the roadway. This person driving the BPL truck was attempting to force his way into the road with me, where he would have to be in my lane, and then we would come to an obstruction where none of us could move. And I blew my horn to indicate to him, like, you are supposed to stop because the obstruction is on your side of the road. And his response to me was, Miss, you can't see cars park on both sides of the road. And I want to know, how do y'all decide who gets to touch the electricity? How much of the wastage at BPL is because of a lack of management and a lack of enforcement of rules and common sense in the corporation? Who y'all is let touch the electricity? Because I scared. We scared. Did y'all paying out all this money, but nobody actually knows what they're supposed to be doing? And that's not an indictment on all of the hardworking people at BPL. But why won't y'all moderate the behavior of your colleagues, since electricity is such a dangerous and equally important part of our life? Come on. Anyway, worry about electricity. It's commission, constituency commission time. All right, so we go back to the data. Again, Abaco, Crooked Island, Grand Bahama, Inagua, Long Island, Mayaguana, Ragged Island, Rumkey, Spanish Wells, and San Salvador all saw decreases in their populations between 2010 and 2022. Mayaguana saw 26.7%, Ragged Island 22.2%, and they were the highest decreases. 75% of the country's population lives on New Providence, 12% on Grand Bahama, and 4% on Abaco. And the rest, let's see, that's 75 plus 12, that's 87, plus 4 is 91. The other 9% are strewn throughout the family islands. So, the questions I wanted to throw on the table, I see you, Texas, I'm going to get to you in a second. The questions I wanted to throw out, do you think we will see any changes to the existing constituency boundaries? Will the number of constituencies change? Do you think we're going to see an increase or decrease? Do we need an increase in constituencies? Will we see a change to family island constituencies? For instance, rapid pace of development and population growth in Eleuthera. Will we see a third constituency in Eleuthera? Will we see the changing of boundaries to reflect the shifting internal migration on the island? Should administrations be able to change boundaries according to polling data? How should new constituencies and new boundaries be designated? For instance, if the administration suggests a boundary shift? Should a mechanism automatically come into play to determine whether a new constituency is actually needed? Oh, it's a fascinating space because we haven't even explored the impact on these rapid shifts on the people who actually live in these communities bounded as constituencies. Here's another question. Is the permanent voter register effective? Another article, new bill to establish permanent voter register. This is the 3rd of December, 2020. The Parliamentary Elections Amendment Bill 2020, which was passed on the 14th of December, 2020, right? Created a permanent voter register in the Bahamas. Registered voters already on the current register would not be required to register to vote again. The bill notes that a person registered as a voter on the current register, quote, shall remain registered as a voter entitled to vote at an election on the continuous register until his name is removed from the register by the parliamentary commissioner, because the person has either died or is found ineligible to vote or has an objection to his registration as a voter. Fast forward to the 19th of October, 2023. Parliamentary registrar looking to modernize the voter's card registration system. So two questions. Is the permanent voter register effective? Is it achieving what it was intended to achieve? And secondarily, we getting new cards? Are we getting plastic cards? You still have us walking around with these paper cards? The Parliamentary Registration Department, again, this is 19th of October, 2023. This is last year. The Parliamentary Registration Department plans to streamline the registration process to get a voter's card, as well as modernizing the car itself. Do you want your biometrics on your voting card? Some people say, Aaron, your biometrics are everywhere already. Nobody had a conversation with me about it, and that is something that we should have really had a conversation about, because I become very concerned when politicians create policy about technology they have no idea about. Let's go to the text line. Aaron, I nominate you for chairman of the new Civilian Oversight Committee governing the Traffic Division, but only if the meetings are outside of Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Thank you very much, Texter. Thank you. Thank you. Aaron, I lost my home 2 weeks ago, told BPL to turn off my electricity, and they left it on because they had no access to the meter. So it's still on, but not in my name. But when I was there, they made sure to turn me off from the pole every month, even though my bill was mortgage high. Joke is, I paid for $4,000 the week before they disconnect. What? Whew. Yeah, there is... Things ain't things at BPL. Things are not things. First of all, y'all don't have bolt cutters? Like, y'all don't travel with bolts and extra locks and little tags that say, BPL, cut the lock, turned off the meter, put on a new lock, contact this number, BPL staff member will come and remove the new lock? Right? Like, y'all don't, isn't it 2024? What are y'all getting paid for? So you're getting paid the money that people get paid for bright ideas. That's what the salary that y'all are accruing is for people who have bright ideas and can implement them and can enforce them. But I am just dreaming. So permanent voter register legislation was passed 14th of December, 2020. 19th of October, 2023, parliamentary registrar is looking to modernize the voter's card registration system. It's very important language, looking. Like, they're seeking permission, and then once they seek permission, then they have to seek the funds to be able to do it. It will be interesting to hear what the process is as... See, and this is why the two stories come together, right? If you have a permanent register, those coming into the registrar's, this parliamentary registrar's office, are only those who need to change their card because of change of location, whatever. I don't think we're getting plastic cards. I don't know why all the talk, but I don't think we're getting plastic cards in this dispensation. But I think the more important conversation is around constituencies and boundary changes. When will the report be done, and can we have a conversation at the state level exploring the processes and whether they should be changed? There was a text here. Good morning, Aaron. This is why we need local government, because why are sitting MPs doing this? Exactly. Exactly. We are in an administrative crisis, and the development of the Bahamas is the collateral damage, right, for unnecessary wars waged by lackluster politicians. Another text just before we go. Morning, Aaron. This is the millennium. They need to change. The electric meter is shutting off from the office. I thought they said they had electric meters. That's what they keep telling me when I indicate that I haven't seen anybody come and read my meter in almost a decade now. You know, we have electric meters. If you have electric meters, then why can't you turn off the power from the office? Anyway, go out and support a local Junkanoo group this holiday season. I mean, I was only half kidding. Go support a B group. Go support a C group. Give them some strength. You guys have a great day. Oh, Joe Biden pardons his son. Oh, the Immortals. Go support the Immortals, please. Why? Because this group has committed itself to be a developmental group to ensure that all the Bahamians moving into the A group move in world class. Not world famous. World class. Anyway, Joe Biden pardoned his son. Maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe Mr. Nuri's going to talk about that in Guardian Radio AM, which is coming up next. So stay tuned. More fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.